Texas Realtors. Residential Real Estate Listing Agreement. Exclusive Right to Sell Listing. Residential Real Estate Listing Agreement. Exclusive Right to Sell Listing. Page 1. Paragraph 1. Parties. Identifies the parties. Enter the seller's name as it appears on the deed. The address should be the current mailing address. Likewise, enter the broker's name and address. The last sentence in paragraph 1 creates the employment agreement between the broker and seller by giving the broker the exclusive right to sell the property. Paragraph 2. Property. The property includes the land and all improvements to the land, as outlined in 2, A to C. Paragraph 2, A. Land. Identifies the physical land. If in a subdivision, enter the lot, block, section, and subdivision name. If the description is by meets and bounds, enter see attached and attach a copy of the description. Paragraph 2, B. Improvements. This includes a listing of the permanently installed and built-in improvements that will be included in the sale. Paragraph 2, C. Accessories. Many of the accessories are related to items listed in 2B. With regard to both 2A and 2B, take great care that the seller understands what is to be included in the sale. Paragraph 2. D. Exclusions. These are items to be excluded from the sale. As a rule, it is better to remove items from the property that the seller wishes to exclude prior to putting the house on the market. Paragraph 2. E. Owner's Association. Check the appropriate box. If an owner's association fee must be paid, it is a mandatory association. Page 2. Paragraph 3. Listing price. Enter the list price here, which should be based upon a careful analysis of the market by creating a comparative market analysis, CMA. Paragraph 4. Term. All listing agreements must have a definite termination date. The listing term should be long enough to market the property under market conditions at the time. Paragraph 5. A. Broker's compensation. The broker's fee is usually a fixed percentage of the sale price. If the fee is to be paid to both the seller's broker and buyer's broker, enter the negotiated fee or rate in 5A. If the fee is only to be paid to the seller's broker, enter the negotiated fee or rate in 5B. Paragraph 5, A to B. Broker's fee. Note that both A1 and A2 should be completed regardless of negotiated terms. A1 details compensation the seller will pay both brokers, while A2 specifies fees the seller's broker will pay to the buyer S broker from the total compensation outlined in A1. 5. B should only be filled if the seller is not paying compensation to the buyer S broker. Chapter 4. Working with sellers. Page 3. Paragraph 5, C. Earned. Note that, according to B1, the broker is due a fee even if the seller sells the property. The broker also earns the fee if the broker procures a ready, willing, and able buyer who is willing to purchase the property at the list price or on other terms acceptable to the seller. Paragraph 5, D. Payable. In most cases, the fee is payable upon the closing and funding of a sale of the property, but there are exceptions. Note that if the broker met the requirements of paragraph 5, B2 above, the fee would be immediately payable under 5C2 if the seller refused to sell. Chapter 4. Working with sellers. Paragraph 5, E. Other compensation. There are some situations in which the broker may receive compensation outside of what is outlined in paragraph 5, A or 5B. Paragraph 5, E1, breach by buyer under a contract. If the seller collects any funds from a buyer who breaches contract, the seller's broker is entitled to the lesser half of any amount collected after any legal fees or collection costs have been subtracted. Paragraph 5, E2, service providers. If the broker refers any service providers, such as contractors, movers, or a utility service, the broker may receive a fee from the service provider for the referral. Paragraph 5, F. Paragraph 5, F. Protection period. The protection period is a period after the listing expires, during which the seller may owe the broker a fee if the property sells. Paragraph 5. F1. The protection period runs for a fixed number of days after the expiration of the listing. The length of the protection period is negotiated between the seller and the broker. Paragraph 5. F2. The broker must provide the list within 10 days. Paragraph 5. F3. The protection period terminates under several conditions, including the listing of a property with another member of Texas Realtors. Page 4. Paragraphs 5, C to H. The agent should explain this paragraph carefully to the seller to avoid the unlawful practice of law. A few of these paragraphs open the door to discuss and clarify what the listing broker might be able to do should the seller breach the listing agreement. Paragraph 6. Listing services. Notice regarding public marketing. Listings publicly marketed must be filed with the MLS within one business day. This notice outlines what is considered public marketing. Paragraph 6A. The broker has 5 days in which to enter the listing in MLS. In most cases, a listing should be entered into MLS immediately. Paragraph 6A2. Check this box if the property will not be entered into MLS or publicly marketed. The last sentence of this section underscores the requirement that publicly marketed listings be entered into the MLS within one business day. Page 5. Paragraph 7A. Authorizing access. The seller's cooperation in granting access to the property is a critical factor in the successful marketing of the listing. Paragraph 7B. Scheduling companies. Scheduling companies are organizations that handle the scheduling of showings for listed properties. Most scheduling companies allow agents to schedule showings over the phone or online. Scheduling companies are a convenience that probably results in an increased number of showings. Paragraph 7C. Key box. The key box, more commonly referred to as a lockbox, may be of the type that is secured with a combination lock, a key, or electronically. The electronic box, e-key, is the most common. Page 6. Paragraph 9. Intermediary. Addresses the all-important agency law requirements for written consent to enter into an intermediary status, or not. In a practical sense, if the agent has not already had a discussion with the seller about the various agency relationships that could develop, this is the time. It is an opportune time to explain statutory intermediary in a practical sense. For example, the seller should know that without written consent, the broker cannot show the seller's property to any prospective buyers who may be represented by the broker's firm. Paragraph 9B. No intermediary status. Check this box if the seller does not want the broker to show the property to buyers that the broker represents. This language is required under the Texas Real Estate License Act when a client gives intermediary consent. Paragraph 10. Confidential information. Remember that confidential information remains confidential forever, subject to the limitations in this paragraph. Paragraph 11. Broker's authority. The broker has a wide range of authority in determining how to market the property. The broker promises to use reasonable efforts and act diligently to market the property. Page 7. Paragraph 11C. Paragraph 11C. Remember that, under the special agency relationship created by this listing agreement, the broker cannot sign or initial any document on behalf of the seller. Paragraph 11D. This is where the broker obtains written permission to advertise on social media. Paragraph 12. Seller's representations. The seller makes some important representations in this paragraph and states that the property is not subject to encumbrances that limit the seller's ability to deliver sufficient title. Paragraph 12. B. Emphasizes the importance that the seller is not currently engaged in a listing agreement with another broker. Entering into agreements with more than one broker at a time could result in a seller owing more than one commission. Page 8. Paragraph 13. Seller's additional promises. The seller agrees to cooperate with the broker in marketing the property, including making the property available for showing at reasonable times. Page 9. Paragraph 15. Special provisions. This paragraph is reserved for factual business details or statements not addressed in the agreement, and for which there is no TREC, promulgated addendum, lease, or other mandatory forms. Take special care when adding anything in paragraph 15. Poorly constructed provisions in this paragraph could be construed as the unlawful practice of law. The listing broker should be clear and concise as to how his or her agents utilize this paragraph. Paragraph 18. Attorney's fees. The prevailing party in a lawsuit has the right to recover reasonable attorney's fees and court costs. Paragraph 19. Addenda and other documents. Check the appropriate boxes as needed. Notice that the information about brokerage services addenda is pre-selected. Paragraph 20A. Entire agreement. When completing this form, ensure that it includes the entire agreement and that there are no significant oral promises that you have not included in the form. Page 10. Paragraph 21. Lists important additional notices involving brokerage fees, fair housing laws, and other items that could trigger the need for additional addenda or disclosures. Specifically, any property built prior to 1978 requires the seller to complete the lead-based paint and lead-based hazards addendum by federal law. Paragraph 21. A. The client and the broker always negotiate the broker's fees. Paragraph 21D. After entering this listing in MLS, consider delivering a printout to the seller. Have the seller sign a copy of the printout, acknowledging that what is in the MLS accurately describes the property. Taking this extra step shows the seller that you are diligent. It could also limit your liability in the event of errors. Paragraph 21E. Most property theft is a crime of opportunity when tempting objects are left out in plain view. These items should be secured and out of sight. Finally, the listing agreement requires the signature of every owner of the property. If any signature is missing, the listing is not in effect. The agent signs the listing agreement on behalf of his or her sponsoring broker, which illustrates the general agency relationship between the broker and the sponsored agent. The sponsored agent has the authority to bind his or her broker in a general agency relationship. A copy of the listing agreement should be promptly provided to the seller to comply with the TRELA. Finally, the listing agreement requires the signature of every owner of the property. If any signature is missing, the listing is not in effect. Enter the listing into the MLS. Most MLS systems have an approved format for the required sequence and fields that need to be entered into the MLS system before a new listing is active. Each broker will have required procedures and documents that you must complete before you, or the staff can enter the data. Again, practice these steps and forms, and the time invested will expedite your listing processes in the future. You must know the MLS rules and policies that govern your board. You must know the essential rules, such as how long you can have a signed exclusive right to sell before you must input it into the MLS, and how quickly you have to note status changes, such as under contract. You will be required to take an orientation at your local board, and it is highly suggested to take all of the MLS and related courses. The data in the MLS is used by listing agents to encourage other agents to show their listings to buyers, thereby increasing the buyer pool. Brokers are also required to post the closing data, sales data, which will help agents determine price and aid appraisers in determining value. Not all MLS systems are run by the local realtor board. Some are run by private third-party vendors. The MLS system not only increases the buying pool locally, but the data from the MLS is sent to syndicated sites like Zillow and Realtor.com, so buyers and agents from all over the country can find it. While these sites are increasingly popular with buyers, agents have access to the most current data on the MLS. Receive a contract offer on your listing. you receive an offer on your seller's listing. Contact the seller to set a time to present the offer, run the current comparables, and review the numbers. Find out all that you can about the buyers to present a clear picture to your sellers. You should present the buyers in a positive light. However, remember whose interests you are looking out for: the seller. Negotiate the offer. If the offer comes in on the lower end, the sellers will likely counteroffer. The current comparable information you pulled from the MLS will help inform the counteroffer. If you receive multiple offers, you must present all offers to your clients promptly, in the order in which they were submitted. Additionally, inform the other parties of your procedure for handling multiple offers and keep them in the loop. The price will not be the only thing you will negotiate on behalf of your sellers. Other important terms like earnest money, the closing date, potential contingencies, and the purchasing strength of the buyer can influence your client's final decision. A strong buyer is particularly attractive in a situation with multiple offers. Counteroffers, sellers. Presenting a seller's counteroffer is another important negotiating skill. Keep the following in mind when presenting a counteroffer to sellers. Bullet. Think of the big picture. Remind sellers that many times the value of concessions tends to be less costly than more days on the market. Bullet. If the price is reasonable, prevent the seller from continuing to negotiate just for the sake of negotiating. Remind them that a counteroffer is an entirely new offer that makes the first offer non-binding. They could lose the buyers if the buyers choose to walk away from the negotiation, especially if they perceive the sellers as unreasonable. Bullet work to put a low-priced offer into perspective if it is within the market range. More time on the market will cost your seller more money. Your sellers accept a contract. Once an offer is accepted, be sure that the contract contains all of the negotiated terms. Have your sellers sign the final contract. Then, send a copy to all parties and follow all or your company's procedures for paperwork. Your notes and record keeping are critical at this stage. Keep a list of timelines and deadlines and who is responsible for meeting them. No one wants surprises. However, if they arise, then handle them with ease. Between contract and closing. The next 7 to 10 days after acceptance are a busy period for all parties involved in the contract. The buyers will have the home inspected by a licensed inspector. The buyer's agent will present any items of concern, which you will then present to the seller. The negotiating continues. The lender will send out an appraiser to assess the value for loan approval. Follow the potential contingencies throughout the process and be available to assist in any way. Going to the closing. Stay in contact with the closer to ensure that the process is going smoothly. Most closings are generally positive experiences. If tensions arise due to unexpected delays or other issues, remain calm and professional and offer to help if possible. Typically, the commission checks will be cut to the brokers, and agents turn in their paperwork at the office and wait for the company account to disperse the commissions. Find out the turnaround time of your office and be patient. Follow up after the closing. Do not forget your sellers. Make sure that you send them a thank you card or a small closing gift to let them know that you appreciate their business and would love to represent them again.